couple of weeks ago, we on Easter, our children did a tremendous job in our, and thanks to Reva and Mike back there and for your work, and did just a great job in our Because He Lives children's program. It was terrific. We had decided that today we weren't going to have NAS kids, but we're going to have our kids come upstairs, and so I've decided that you kids are going to preach most of the sermon today. So I'm going to need your help. So we're going to have an extended kids' corner after the offering. So kids, I'd like you to come up and sit in the front. If you want to bring your parents, that's fine too. But so if you want to bring them, that's fine. But kids, come up. I'm going to have some questions for you, and I'm going to need your help to tell the story in the sermon. It is a paying job, I wanted to mention as well. You know, I get paid to preach. And so I have some things up here that I would hate to have to eat the whole bag myself, you know? Anyway, after our offering this morning, I want to invite our kids to come up for Kids Corner. You can sit on the front row here, and I'm going to preach, and then I'm going to ask you to help me and answer some questions. And we're going to talk about a very important commandment that God gave us, the fifth commandment. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come and help me with that. We also today are going to receive an offering at the end of the service for our children's camp and teen camp scholarships. Many of you know that are part of this church family that we really work hard to get kids to kids camp and teen camp. We had a bunch of kids that went to the preteen retreat a few weeks ago. That's the first year we had kids go to that, and it just came back an excellent. It was an excellent time for them. We had some adults that were able to go and be chaperones, and they came back saying how excellent it was. It's at the same place as kids camp. And so we try to start in the winter, the spring, in preparing for kids camp. It is the second week of July. Teen camp is the third week of June. So it's just coming up in a couple of months right after Bible school. And Pastor Shane told the board the other night that he's got 13 teens signed up. So I don't know who all he's dragging down there, but I'm excited about that. I hope it'll be a great time for our teens. And last year we had 30 or so kids that went to kids camp and 10 counselors, and I'm grateful for that. I think kids camp can be a great time to put our spiritual roots down. And I know several of you who have told me that you were saved earlier in life, maybe a long time ago in a different place, but at a children's camp or a teen camp. And so we're going to do an offering at the end of the service to help send our kids to kids camp and teen camp. We try to do to help them as much as we can as a church, and parents pay some, but if you'd like to be involved in that, just want you to know that. Of course, you can give any time between now and kids camp, but we'll receive that offering at the end of the service this morning. Okay, I'd like to invite the kids to come up, and if you would, if you want to help me with the sermon, you want to get paid, come on down, and we'll see what happens. I know Simon's good for a Snickers bar. We've never quite done it like this, kind of kids' corner sermon together. But we're going to try it today. Who knows what will happen. You can sit on this side too, or whatever. We don't want to sit at whatever. All right. Maybe you want to stick together. It might seem safer that way. Okay. Well, today I think it's pretty special. To me, it's special for the children in that we're talking about kids' camp, teen camp. But we're also talking about the importance of the fifth commandment that is important to all of us as children of God. No matter how young we are, how old we are, I believe God has something to say to us about the commandments. Many of you know that we've been in a series on the Ten Commandments. Although we have jumped around now, and we've been above and beyond number five for different reasons in different places. But we are studying the Ten Commandments, and so today we're coming back to that study and that series, and we believe that the commandments come from the heart of God. They're described as being written by the finger of God, and in so many places in the scriptures, the Ten Commandments are reiterated and taught, and principles come to us about the importance of them. In some ways, I've said the Ten Commandments are very simple, and you know, if we set our heart to them, we can memorize them pretty quickly, but then also believe that God speaks to us deeply about deeper things and who we are and who we are as the people of God. Certainly the Ten Commandments for the children of Israel were the beginning, the foundation of God's covenant with them and saying, I want to be your God and I want you to be my people, and this is how my people will live. This is how the community will thrive. This is God's hand and presence. The Ten Commandments, as my professor said, Dr. Lawhead, back in seminary, that's the loving heart of God. The law is like that. We might not always understand the law in the context that it was written and why and what and where, but the law and God's commands are from His heart to help us to know Him and to love Him. And so as we look at this commandment today, as we've looked at the other commandments, I want us to remember that every commandment is given to help us to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And certainly the fifth commandment is like that. I'd like to ask you to watch this video that will take a minute. We're going to play it through twice, and then we'll continue.
Today, I'm unreal. Yes, I know I'm supposed to honor and respect my parents, but respect has to be earned, right? I mean, how am I supposed to respect people that don't respect me or my decisions? My friends tell me I gotta get over it, and some of them even say I'm just as bad as my parents. And I'm like, what? I'm doing all I can to not be like them. And if I am, maybe it's because I was born that way, because I'm their kid. And that really frustrates me because I want to change who I am. But shouldn't they have to change first? Today, I'm unreal. Yes, I know I'm supposed to honor and respect my parents, but respect has to be earned, right? I mean, how am I supposed to respect people that don't respect me or my decisions? My friends tell me I gotta get over it, and some of them even say I'm just as bad as my parents. And I'm like, what? I'm doing all I can to not be like them. And if I am, maybe it's because I was born that way, because I'm their kid. And that really frustrates me because I want to change who I am. But shouldn't they have to change first?
The fifth commandment, I believe, reaches into a lot of places of who we are. And though it's very simple on the surface and we can know it and we can quote it when we think about its impact on our lives from the beginning to the end, we realize that God was very wise to give us this commandment. We know that God gave us this commandment, the fifth out of ten, the first commandment that deals more with relationship between people. The first four commandments that we've looked at has dealt with different aspects of our respect for God and how we view Him and how we treat Him. And so the fifth commandment begins the new series, six in all, that deals specifically with relationships with one another. And God chose to put this commandment first in that order. We already studied the commandment, thou shalt not kill, and that thou shalt not steal, because of the timing, and wanted to do this commandment with the kids with us and after the Easter program. So it's a little bit out of order, but we've already looked at the commandment to kill and to steal. And though I wouldn't say that the order of them, God had any particular reason, He may have, and I'm not sure exactly what He thought, but I know that He put that first. I note that this commandment comes right before the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And we know how important that commandment is and how the sin of man and the wickedness of the heart of man has made our world such a place of struggle and enmity and hatred and then the commandment to steal, and all of them are important. But God put this one first. Somehow He wanted His people to have a value of something, a value of the created order. For in the early chapters of Genesis, we read that God created, He created life, He created marriage, He created parents and children. He is the giver of life. And so this commandment does also go back to the very beginning of the creation and the heart of God of what He wanted when He told Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the earth. There's something about parenthood that's very important to the heart of God. Just the amazing power of life and the miracle of life talked about how God brings together these processes of chromosomes and genes, and he created life, and he created man in his own image. There's something about the image of God that is reflected in the fifth commandment. He wants order in the creation of man and in relationships and how we get along with each other. And so our attitude and our spirit about our parents is very important. It's important for every age. It's so important for our children to understand this commandment. That's why I wanted you guys especially to be up in this service. And I want to talk to you about how important it is that you honor your father and your mother. And you realize that God has given you a special, special gift. Sometimes when we get a special gift for our birthday or for Christmas, we take that and we play with it and we love it and we enjoy it. And then sometimes maybe we move on to something else and we forget about it. But your parents are gifts that God gives you and wants you to cherish and have deep in your heart and love them so much. So there's a lot of things about this commandment that I believe are very important. I believe that God wants you, young people, to obey your parents and to honor them. That's what the scripture says. I want your help now this morning. I want you to tell me some things that you are thankful for. I'm going to get about your parents, so I'll let you think about it a minute. Anybody that participates gets to help me with my pay today, okay? So if you want to help and you want to participate, you can. Yeah, I'm going to give you part of my pay. You didn't see that? You didn't see that? How about that? Okay, all right. Now, I want you guys to tell me something that you're thankful for about your parents, okay? Tell me something you're thankful about your parents.
They love me.
They love you. Sheila and Caleb, I'm really glad you love them. That's precious. Thank you.
I'm glad that they let us believe in God and think that what we want to about our religion.
That's great. They really encourage you to do that, and I love that. That's fantastic. Thank you.
They give me food.
Oh, that's a good thing. Mom makes sure you got what you need, doesn't she? Yeah.
They give me shelter.
Yes, they do. You got a nice bed to sleep in, don't you? That's great.
They give us clothes.
Very good.
They encourage me to do hard things.
Did you hear that? They encourage me to do hard things. That's excellent.
They help me with my faith.
That's excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to share?
They help me do stuff.
Yeah, thank you. That's great.
They let us get education.
Yep. They teach you pretty hard, don't they?
They help us with schoolwork. They bring us to church.
I'm so glad of that. Anybody else? Am I down here? Okay.
They help us with homework.
That's great. Well, I'm glad. Thank you for helping me. I'm going to ask you another question in a couple minutes, but that's a good start. I wanted you guys to talk about what you appreciate about your parents, because that is one way that you honor your parents. You have a thankful heart, and you remember to say thank you. Have your parents ever said to you, don't forget to say thank you for somebody else, or when you're in line or somebody gives you something? Sometimes they remind you of that. But I want to say to you guys how important it is for you to have a thankful spirit for your mom and dad, and remember to tell them. You know, it's great even if you surprise them sometime, and you go up to them and you say, I really appreciate you. I really love you. And I think you're a great mom or a great dad. That's important to do. And that's not for just our kids. That's for all of us who are the children of God, to have a heart of thanksgiving for our parents, that we always remember that we're on a journey and they're on a journey, and we have different ways that we can express thankfulness about them. I want to tell you kids a story about Jesus. What Jesus was like when he was a little boy. There's a story in the Bible,
in the Gospel of Luke that tells us a little bit about Jesus. Before I read that, I want you to think about the commandment, honor your father and your mother. Would you go on to that next one? And kids, I want you to listen. Maybe you can read along with me. It's kind of long, but it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." This is written by a man who wanted to help us to understand what this commandment meant. When Jesus was doing his teaching and when he grew up, he also helped us to understand what this commandment was. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about a story about Jesus, and I want you to think about what does it have to do with honoring our fathers and our mother. Before I do that, I have one other question, and that's this. What do you think Jesus was like when he was your age? However old you are right now, I want you to think about, what do you think Jesus liked to do when he was your age? Remember, now Jesus was a little boy. He was born and he grew up. And so tell me, what do you think Jesus was like when he was your age? Who wants to go first?
Pray.
You think Jesus prayed when he was a little boy? Yeah.
He liked helping his parents.
Helping his parents. That's great. What else do you think he did? Do you think he ran and played? You think he jumped off the jungle gym? No, not sure. You don't think so?
Teach others about Jesus.
Yep, I think he probably did.
He loved people.
He loved people. How old are you? Five. Do you think five-year-old people? You think Jesus was a good example of that? I bet so.
Helped his dad in the...
Yeah.
I think he was probably pretty smart.
I think he's pretty smart. Yeah, I bet he was. But he was a boy, but he was the Son of God. Yeah.
He liked to go into the temple and preach to the priests.
Very good. Excellent. Boy, you guys are already covering some of the things I'm going to say.
He knows that he would be God.
That's right. He knew that he was God, didn't he? That's great. Well, you know what? When I think of Jesus, I think he was a boy, and he did probably a lot of the same type things that you did. I'd imagine that he played with his friends. I imagine that sometimes he liked to run around. Maybe his mom said, "Now slow down, Jesus," or wherever he was at. But he lived just like a boy or a girl did, like you did. Now, he was a little bit different in that he was God's son, and on the inside, he had that Holy Spirit of God from birth, but he also lived a life like boys and girls. So I think that boys and girls can be like Jesus when they ask Jesus to help them and change them, and they can do the things that God wants them to do. I don't think you have to wait till you're 15 years old or 29 years old or an old person like me. But right now, boys and girls, you can live for Jesus and do what he wants you to do. And the same for all of us. We know that. Obeying God and responding to God isn't because we're a certain age. It's because in our hearts we say, "God, we want to do what you want us to do." And you kids are able to do that. And that's great. The Bible says a lot about children and about how we can learn from them about knowing God. One of them is the Bible says that the little children will lead them. That means that children often help us adults to know who God is. And when we learn from you and watch how you learn, then we can learn and be closer to God too. And so remember that you guys are an example to us, and we want to remember that. Jesus also talked about becoming like a little child and learning like a child, having an attitude that's teachable and wanting to learn. Sometimes adults kind of get hard-headed. Somewhere, I don't know, you teenagers, when is that happens to us? I'm not sure. But, you know, all of a sudden things change and we feel like we know more than maybe we did before. But somehow children have in their heart the ability to want to learn to follow Jesus and do what he wants them to. And so that's so important that you have in your heart that attitude like a little child. So in that way you help us. But when I think about what Jesus was like, I I think about him. Maybe he was fishing sometimes. He probably had buddies that he fished with, I'm guessing. And he probably did work with his dad and in the workshop. And we'll talk about that. And one of you said, one of the things about Jesus that you wondered is you thought he might be real smart. Well, the truth is he was very, very smart. And he wanted to learn. In fact, what Jesus wanted to learn very early in his life, he wanted to learn what God said, God the Father. So he studied the scriptures and he studied the writings. And Jesus was a kind of little boy that spent a lot of time asking questions. And so I believe that he read and he learned to read. And then he read God's word and he learned what it meant. And it meant that God was calling him. God the Father had sent him to be the Savior of the world. But he was a very good student, and he learned, and he asked a lot of good questions. And so I think he probably spent a lot of time in doing that. And in fact, we're told that one time, I want to tell you a story about one day, Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus was about 12 years old when this happened, and his whole family had gone to Jerusalem. And not only his family, but a lot of people that lived in the town that Jesus lived in. Jesus lived in a town of Nazareth, okay? Now, that's about 70 miles or so from Jerusalem, something like that. So it was a long way back then. They didn't jump in cars like we do. Usually you had to walk, or you could ride a donkey or maybe a horse. But the whole family had gone from Nazareth all the way up to Jerusalem. And not only their family, but a lot of other people that lived in Nazareth went to Jerusalem because they were going for a special celebration. They were going for a celebration called Passover. That meant that all the people that could would go to Jerusalem, and they would eat this meal together, and they would remember that God had helped their people, the Israelites, and God would provide for them, and that God would provide a lamb for them and help bring them out of Egypt. And so the whole family went to Jerusalem, and they ate the Passover, and it was like a big celebration, kind of like we do at Christmas time. You know, all of us have different ways that we celebrate Christmas. Sometimes people come to our house and we might go to grandma's house, but Christmas is a time that people get together. It was the same for the Passover. It was the same when all the people came to Jerusalem and they were celebrating the Passover, and there was a lot of family, and the streets were full, and the whole place was filled with people during this celebration. And so Jesus was there, and his parents were there, and probably, maybe, I don't know, maybe his grandparents, and he had a lot of cousins, his cousins, and his neighbors. And so there were so many people in Jerusalem that when it was time to go home, it's like all of them, pack your bags, and they got in a line, and they headed back up the road away from Jerusalem, heading back to Nazareth. It was time to go home. So that's what happened. And Mary and Joseph, who was Jesus' parents, got their things together. And they said, okay, come on, it's time to go home. And so they all went out, and there's a crowd of people that were walking up on the road to Nazareth out of Jerusalem. And they all started going, and they were walking. And it took a long time. And guess what? Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph. And Joseph was over in another part of the crowd. And Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary. But guess what? Jesus was not with either of them. And they left him all alone in Jerusalem. And they traveled. And after they got out of the town, and they started talking, and they realized that they had made a big mistake. Joseph, where's Jesus? Well, I don't know, Mary. I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. And they looked around for him. And they got pretty concerned because they couldn't find their boy. Now, their boy was 12 years old then, so he wasn't a real little boy. He's more like you guys. You're 11, and how old are you, Simon? 11, so pretty close, but think about this. You can take care of yourself pretty good. However, you probably don't want your parents to leave you somewhere if you can help it, you know. Oh, anyway. So they discovered that Jesus was not with them, and all these people from Jerusalem were on the road, and they, have you seen our son? Have you seen Jesus? And they were And then they started to get a little nervous because nobody had seen Jesus. They did not know what happened to him. And so they got out of the crowd and they rushed back to Jerusalem and they started looking for Jesus. Where's our son? Where's he at? And they asked people. Nobody seemed to find. You know how long it took for them to find Jesus? 3 days. Have you ever been missing for 3 days? Good. I hope not. I remember once when my daughter was missing at the grocery store for about 20 seconds, and it was scary, but we found her. You guys ever been missing? No. Good. You think you'd be scared if you were?
Yeah.
You might be. You might wonder where your mom and dad was. Well, tell you, mom and dads get scary. They get real scared when their kids are missing. And so they started frantically looking for Jesus and going all around Jerusalem. Where is he? They went to every place they had stayed, and they went to see their friends who lived in Jerusalem. Have you seen Jesus? We can't find him anywhere. And no, we haven't seen him. And they looked for 3 days. And then finally, you know what? They found him. You know where he was. He was in the temple. He was in the temple of all places. That's where grown-ups especially go and worship God. And young people do too, but especially the grown-ups go and they hear God's word and they ask questions and they worship God and they pray and they sing. And so they found Jesus at the temple. They didn't expect to see him there. And when they found him there, can you imagine what they said to him? Jesus! Do you know what you've done to us? You know how worried we were about you, you know? You know, their parents were pretty upset. I don't blame them. Where you been? I said that to people, my kids. Where you been? I was worried about you. Well, they really were worried because it was 3 days. Well, they finally found Jesus, and of course they loved Jesus, and they hugged him, and oh, they were so glad to see him, but they were worried, and then... And then they ask, why did you do this to us? We were so afraid. We were scared. Now remember, we're talking today about the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And they said, Jesus, why did you do this to us? We were so afraid. And then Jesus said, don't you know that I was supposed to be about my father's business? Boy, that was an answer that they weren't quite expecting. They haven't thought of it that way. See, Jesus knew that he was the son of Mary and Joseph, but he also knew that he was the son of God. And so he knew that God the Father was his father. And so he was saying to them, well, I just came to the place where I could worship my father, and I need to be about my father's business. And you know, Mary and Joseph never thought about that, although they knew because an angel had come and told Mary in a very special dream and appearance to her that Jesus was the Son of God. So they kind of knew it, but they didn't think about it when Jesus was missing. And Jesus said, well, I have to be about my father's business. And they probably had to think about that a little bit. Boy, you're only 12 years old? See, because what Jesus was doing when he was at the temple is he was talking to all the teachers of the law, probably pretty much old people who had studied the law a lot, and they understood the prophecies, and they understood the prophets and what they said, and they had read the law of Moses, and they knew the law of Moses very well. And so Jesus was there talking to them and asking them questions that they didn't really even know the answer to, because Jesus at 12 years old was so smart. He already was very smart. And I think it's because he had hidden God's word in his heart. In fact, when I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about quizzing yesterday and how many of you guys were here and you were hiding God's word in your heart and how special that is. Because when you put it in your heart now, when you get older, you'll remember that. And God can help you and speak to you and talk to you when you hide God's word away in your heart. So I wanted to say I was proud of you for your hard work in quizzing. Well, Jesus had hidden all those things in his heart. And so then his parents said to them, well, Jesus, let's go home. And so they turned and they went together out of Jerusalem and they went all the way back to Nazareth. And then we read about Jesus, that when he went back to Nazareth, that he obeyed them. And then he grew up the rest of his life Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want you to think about that for a minute. He went down to Nazareth with them and he was obedient to him. Now, remember, we already said Jesus was God's son. That made him very, very special. And Jesus had learned a lot. Boy, he probably knew more than a lot of those teachers of the law. But still, what did Jesus do? He went and he obeyed his parents. Jesus did exactly what God had told him to do, and that is he had a heart that obeyed his parents. Even though he might have known some things that his parents didn't know, still he did. Even though he was the Son of God, God himself, he still was obedient to his parents. And his example reminds us that God wants all of us, no matter what we know or don't know, no matter if we think we know a lot, that we should still have a heart that says to our parents, I honor you. I will follow what you ask me to do. I will learn what you have to say to me. I'll tell you, boys and girls, God gave you parents for a very special reason. That's to help you because he loves you and he wants you to grow and be strong. And so Jesus went back with them and he obeyed them. And it says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus grew in his mind and his thinking and his ability to understand people. Four ways he grew: in wisdom, and then it says he grew in stature. That means that he grew up like a man. He became tall and strong. And also, he grew in favor with God and man. That means that Jesus kept doing what God wanted him to do. Jesus always obeyed what God wanted him to do. And so he's an example to us of choosing to do what's right. You know, we choose whether or not we obey God and we obey our parents. Nobody makes you do it. I mean, nobody makes you change your heart except God can change your heart, and you have a choice to do that. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. And so each one of you guys have the opportunity to say, I want to grow up like Jesus did. I want to have an attitude and a spirit like Jesus did. When I think about other stories about Jesus, I remember that Jesus helps us to understand the fifth commandment and how important it is. Later on, Jesus was talking about people who gave their offering at the temple, and they had a word for it called Corban, and that offering was kind of be a special gift to God, except that money was supposed to be used to honor their parents, to help their parents. You know, when you get older, sometimes your parents need your help. God not only wants you to obey your parents now, but God wants you to have a heart that honors your parents when they're old. And sometimes their needs will change. You have grandparents, and some of you have great-grandparents. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they're not as well as they used to be. They're not quite as strong as they used to be because they've gotten old. But, you know, God cares so much about taking care of our parents, too. And he wants us never to forget that. Joseph grew up, and he probably helped his dad in the carpenter shop. He helped Joseph make things, but then his parents got older too, and sometimes they had needs. And I'll tell you one more story about Jesus, and that was when he was dying on the cross. You remember that when Jesus was on the cross, his mother Mary was still alive, and she was older then, and she had different needs probably than when he was a little boy. But when Jesus was on the cross, Mary came and saw him die on the cross, and you imagine how sad she was that her son was dying on the cross. But when Jesus was on the cross, he looked down and he saw his mother, and he thought about her. And I think about this commandment, how his heart was to take care and to honor his mother. He said to Mary, to his mother, Mother, and then there was a man standing beside Mary, and his name was John. He was one of Jesus' best friends and disciples. And Jesus said, Mary, Mom, this is now your son. He's going to take care of you. And he said to John, he said, John, this is your mother. You're going to take care of her. And Jesus showed us on the last day that he lived, before he died, how important it is to honor our fathers and our mothers. And so we honor our fathers and our mothers, our parents, in different ways. When we're really young, it's more like obeying when they ask us to do something or they tell us to do something or they're teaching us and we're having an attitude that says, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for showing me that. But as we get older, it changes. I think about teenagers, and certainly this commandment we know applies to all of us at whatever age we're in. And
whether we're children or we have aged parents that we love and we care for and we take care of. God wants us to have a heart of respect. And I just want to say to our teens that are here today how important it is that you choose an attitude of respect for your parents and that you choose to apply God's truth in your heart. See, the natural thing when we became, when we become teenagers, at least when I was, and I went through a really hard time. I've told that story before for a while when I was a teenager, how I really had an attitude that I knew everything. And I was pretty hard on my parents for a while. And sometimes we are as teenagers. But I want to say to our teenagers that are here today how important it is that you put it into action, whether you're 13 or 15 or 19 or us who are older, aged parents, but how important it is that we respect our parents and we show the kind of honor that God wants us to. That's God's plan, and it's best for us. I know sometimes as teenagers we face hard times. I know that. We kind of have that sense that we're starting to learn. We want to be on our own. We want to have our independence. We don't want other people telling us really what to do so much. I know I was there, and all of us probably go through that. Most people go through that. Some are a little bit more independent than others. But I just want to say today, as part of our study on the Ten Commandments, teenagers, don't forget how important it is that you honor your parents. Nobody will care more about you than your parents. I know it's a two-way street, and I know there's some of you that are here today that you've had hard times with your parents. As I was thinking about this, thinking about people whose parents have not always done what's right, we know that. And some of you are here today, and you think, well, why should I honor my parent? I have to tell you, I wrestle with that. And what to say. But I know that God calls us to a higher way to live. Even of people that are sinful and have hurt us, God calls us to lift up and say, God, help me to honor. Help me, God, to know how to handle the hurt and the pain in my life, because sometimes it's there. But I know that if you hold on to it and you don't release it, you don't give it to God, it will only hurt you and only make you bitter. It will only make your life more difficult. So I want to say to you, when the street hasn't been, know that God the Father loves you so much and cares deeply about you. He knows when there's been pain and injustice. Even as adults, sometimes we wrestle with things in our lives that have been there that have been difficult. But I want you to know that there's a Heavenly Father who will never, ever fail you. He loves you so much. He does, and He knows. And if you have hurts, God knows that. Pray, God, heal me, help me, touch me. And I know God hears that prayer. I pray that you would hear that and you would feel that today. Whatever age you are, know that there's a loving, loving Heavenly Father who's watching over you and cares deeply about you.